Welcome to the KO Sports Corner. What is up, guys? Kevin from the KO Sports Corner. This is football in Florida. I think this is what we'll call our little series here. We have Sean Miller. He is our Dolphins contributor and also writing a little bit for the Marlins. What's up, Sean? I'm excited to start this podcast series. We're talking Hurricanes. We're talking some Dolphins. Hurricanes lost, but the Dolphins made one of the biggest comebacks in recent memory in the NFL. So how are you, man?
I am great. Heart is still racing, and that's you can't overstate what an epic win that was for the Dolphins yesterday in terms of just impact right away. It's really 2008, I think, is what you're going back to for, you know, whether it's the Wildcat game or just knocking the Pats and the Jets out of the playoffs at the last game of the season. It's been a while since they've had a game that made you feel that great. Well, flying high, despite Saturday.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about Saturday, but once again, this I think will be some weekly type of podcast, maybe bi-weekly. We'll go into every 2 weeks, maybe 1 week. We'll see how the schedule rolls, but let's start about some Miami Hurricanes first. Let's start on a little lower note here. So today, some news came out that Jacoby George, one of their wide receivers, is out indefinitely. So that is the second receiver out. The first one was Xavier Restrepo, who was Tyler Van Dyke's number one. That was his main target. So let's talk about that, and let's compare that with the Texas A&M game, which they lost, I believe, 16-9. Miami did not score a touchdown. That was all field goals, and they missed two of them. So let's just talk about that. Let's talk first about Tyler Van Dyke. You obviously noticed that the absence of Xavier Restrepo was felt. He was kind of targeting everyone at this point, going to Henry Parrish in the run game. Jalen Knighton got it going there a little bit. So your thoughts on the game itself and then going into Tyler Van Dyke's performance?
It's one of those games where, so yeah, you mentioned the two missed field goals. We had the muff punt too. I mean, if you, glass half empty, same old Canes, you come in hyped, this is going to be different, the U is going to be back, and then they stumble against a ranked team, and here we go again. Glass half full, two missed field goals on a muff punt. It's, you know, there's definitely a world where those plays didn't happen. You could see Miami winning this game 15 to 13, just kind of take that. They don't get that touchdown and they get the ball and get the, you know, deep in Kane's territory like that. But, you know, and then this has a different tone, right? If that happens, you know, but just that amount of points, so that's not going to get it done. That's not what you want to see from the team, you know, win or lose. I think A&M was much better, bigger threat than it probably looked like. UM came into this game ranked ahead of them, and that was, I just kind of thought that was ridiculous. A&M came into the season as, you know, this almost lock for the college football playoff. They lose to Appalachian State, who is possessed. They are the ultimate giant killer. My wife hates football, and she remembered Appalachian State was the team that beat Michigan in 2007. That's just what they do. That's their thing. They've got that mojo going. A&M's better than you right now. And so I wasn't that surprised at the result. And it's Miami's probably going to be favored in every other game they play up until the Clemson game. But
yeah, go ahead. My bad.
Yeah. But for the game we saw yesterday, it's, you know, they have to get that offense going. They need to do better. Even against A&M, they had a bunch of guys suspended for was a series of off-field shenanigans, I think. You want to, even on the road, you want to see a Hurricanes offense have a better showing than that.
Yeah, not only that, guys were disqualified from the game due to targeting, so they lost even more guys after the game had begun, and I believe the suspensions were because of a curfew issue. But I wanted to ask you, the run game, they bring in Henry Parrish from Ole Miss. You kind of have a run game that's a little bit better. This is Mario Cristobal's bread and butter when it comes to the offense. He's a guy who likes to run the ball a lot more than pass it. So have you noticed the difference from last season's run game to this year?
I feel a little more confident in it. They've got some good backs back there. This was the first game in three tries where Parrish didn't have 100 yards rushing, didn't have a touchdown. But, you know, still look pretty capable. It's kind of funny thinking about this as Cristobal's bread and butter when he was the last head coach that Justin Herbert had. that's, if anything, you know, we're running a little too much. I'd like to see Van Dyke take over games a little more, but all the good Canes teams have always had solid ground games, and that's obviously going to be a big part of their success going forward this year.
And then finally, just to wrap it up on the Canes a little bit, I want to get into Restrepo's injury. We saw how spread out the receiving targets were. A lot of guys had two, some had three targets. Michael Redding was a guy who had a good amount of targets, but then to get all the catches. Who do you think is the receiver to step up now with the Restrepo injury and Jacoby George also out now? So who do you think is that receiver that may step out up, or do you think maybe UM goes into more of a run game first type offense right now?
Can I split the difference and just say it's going to be Will Mallory? And then we're just gonna just go crazy with the tight end now. I mean, that's their best receiving threat right now. Yeah. I think if it's but you might be right with the backfield. I'd see it be more as that. Just, you know, Van Dyke's gonna have to find the talent on the field, and that's Parrish and that's Mallory. They are so thin at receiver right now. It's frightening, which won't be a problem going forward. One of Crystal Ball's strengths is recruiting, right? And we're gonna start seeing those, you know, awesome recruiting classes that he's known for, but that's going to take a couple of years for us to get that depth back. And so I think this season you'll see a lot of airing it out to the tight end and getting the running backs involved as much as possible.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the college rankings. They dropped, I believe, yesterday. So we're recording this on September 19th, a Monday, the day after the Dolphins beat the Ravens. They dropped from 13 to 25. Is it a fair drop? If not, where do you think they should have been ranked? I believe Texas A&M now moves like a couple spots up. So Miami gets a huge, huge drop off from the top 15 to the last ranked team out of the 25.
I think it's fair. I mean, this is the danger with, you know, padding your schedule early to get that experience. The item is, who have they beat them? Yeah, they beat Bethune-Cookman and they beat another team. I almost looked up before it, but it doesn't matter because it was a game that the Canes were supposed to win. And they did so. But in terms of, you know, something that was going to move the needle, if they had started the season against, I don't know, Syracuse and North Carolina, then they'd probably only fall a few spots for losing to a team as good as Texas A&M. But they played the schedule they did, and that'll balance itself out. You know, they're still in the top 25, but again, I really have to imagine they'll be favored in the vast majority of their remaining games, if not every game up until Clemson. They do only have one other ranked team on the schedule. Like, that does kind of hurt. It is Clemson. Well, I guess, yeah, Pittsburgh's ranked right now too. I think they might be 24th, but yeah, they're right there too on the edge. I can see, you know, Miami keep on moving up and they'll climb back in the rankings, but I think based on who they played before, I can see the drop. And they did not look good on Saturday.
No, they did not. No. You know, they kept it close, but it was by far their worst performance of the season. Obviously, yes, there are some moments where they looked good, especially in that fourth quarter, that final drive. They got it all the way down, but they just couldn't convert. And then another big issue, the red zone. I mean, they had around 3 to 4 opportunities and not a single time they could get it into the end zone. What changes do you think you have to see there to maybe get that in the red zone?
And that's tough, right? I mean, we're thinking if only we had a quarterback that was rumored to be a first round draft pick that, you know, could have done something there. That's really got to be on Van Dyke. He's got to create, you know, take more chances. Saw a couple throws in that game that, you know, he just needed to make and didn't. It would have been big conversions in that spot. So it's, again, A&M's really good. Hopefully we could, you know, the ground game, I imagine, will be more successful getting some of those touchdowns against other opponents on the slate. But I think it starts and ends with Van Dyke if he's the quarterback he's supposed to be.
Yeah, and now I just want to quickly preview Week 4, Middle Tennessee. They're 2-1. What do you know about this college? I really never heard of them, I'm not going to lie to you, until yesterday when I did just a little bit of looking. Their quarterback is Cunningham, 72% completion rate. They're 2-1 once again. This should be a game that they're heavily favored in once again, and they should be able to win this Saturday. So just your thoughts on this game coming up. And they're back in Hard Rock, so I guess we should feel a little bit better about that. They're playing in at home. So just your thoughts on this week coming up, and how important is it for the UM to win it?
Oh, well, I mean, it's essential that they win. I mean, they won't be in the top 60 teams in the country if they lose to Middle Tennessee State. And I know what it is because you put it in the show notes. I think I was joking yesterday that I thought they were playing Mississippi Technical College, and I thought I was close, actually.
You were close. What
the name actually was. Of course they should win. I think the one thing is that they put themselves in territory that they kind of have to dominate now. Need a little more of a style point win after losing the other day. They probably could have just plotted their way to a victory where, no one gets hurt and that's, the main goal. They just move on to the next game. But, they probably got to win by multiple scores, two, three, four. You'd love to see Van Dyke be the one to do it, but I won't be upset if Parrish and Knighton both have 140 yards and a couple touchdowns on the ground and they just pound away. Either do you look at the defensive rankings at all? Like, what are they? Do you know what they're better at stopping?
I know I looked a little bit at the first game. They had a couple. I know they had an interception, a pick six, fumble recovery. So they've been pretty good on that end. They've been able to hold it down. And I know the O line's been pretty good as well this year. I know that's what Cristobal takes most pride in, the O line. He was an offensive lineman himself at UM, so it looks a little bit better, especially with how the run game is supposed to be the first option for them. And I think you're right. They're really going to need these running backs because now with another wide receiver going down, they really don't have much except, as you mentioned, Will Malloy, which is their tight end. So let's see if these guys go after that 100 yards. And the only other player I think will deserve a shout out, which I don't have on me right now. Never mind. So I think let's just move on to Dolphins talk. This is, I think, what everyone's here for, to talk about. Yes. Just a crazy game, man. It was so crazy. Miami was down 28-7 entering halftime. And as you see, Tyreek Hill was probably one of the biggest helps in this game. But I'm just going to read out Tua's stats quickly. The guy had was 36 completions out of 50 attempts, 469 yards. He had 9.4 average yards, 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. He was not sacked a single time, Sean. The offensive line may have looked the best it's looked in the past 3 years. Tua was not sacked against probably one of the better defenses in the NFL, although Miami made him look helpless out there. They made him look completely broken. But just going to keep reading out some more stats here. Jaylen Waddle, 11 receptions, 171 yards, 15.5 average yards, and 2 touchdowns, which one of them was the game winner. Tyreek Hill, 11 receptions, 190 yards, 17.3 average yards, 2 touchdowns. One of them was to tie this game up. Mike Gesicki, 4 receptions, 41 yards, 10.3 average, 1 touchdown. And then just looking quickly at the running game, which wasn't the biggest impact, but Raheem Mostert, 11 carries, 51 yards, 4.6 average. Chase Edmonds, 5 carry, 33 yards, 6.6 average, no touchdowns. And then Rivercraft, I believe that's how you say it. He was one of the practice squad elevations. He was the first touchdown scored for the game. 1 reception, 1 touchdown. Sean, just tell me this game. How big is this game? We all expected Miami maybe to be the underdog in this game. Many had him as that. You're going into Baltimore where you hadn't won in such a long time, in over a decade. I believe last time it was 1997. You mentioned on the article you wrote for us. They come into the bank. You kind of think, damn, they're down 28-7 halftime. This may be game over, man. And then all of a sudden, Tua just goes ballistic and really carries the offense. And at the end of the day, it turned into a shootout, This is, I think, something we needed to see from Tua. This is probably, if we could get this type of Tua, or just even similar to what we got today, I think this guy's the future, man. I've never doubted Tua. I've always been the guy who just rides with the guy. I've never really said, this guy's in it. This guy's not going to be the future. You invested, the 5th pick of the draft on Tua, or the 3rd pick. And yep, he's been really good. He's been really good, Sean. I mean, this season, I know this was actually funny enough. We look at week 1 and this was the game for the defense. And then we look at week 2 against Baltimore. It's completely different, or vice versa. Defense, they were okay in the second half. They made some big time stops, but they weren't really that good. You gave up 28 points in the first half, and then the offense is really what won the game for you today. So just your thoughts on the Dolphins versus Ravens, and then I want to talk a little bit week 1 towards the end.
Sure. Oh, well, this was, this is huge. This was epic. To, see this kind of comeback, and you said it with, especially for Tua, there's, all the shade that's been cast his way since, coming into the league, the stuff he's had to deal with, despite just always being, pretty capable and a winner for all the other quarterbacks that went around him in that, in that draft. And he's the only one with a winning record. He's 15-8 as a starter. He's 4-0 against the Patriots. He's 8-1. I love that other stat that came out the other day. He's 8-1 against coaches that have won a Super Bowl. And it's just, he gets it done. He finds a way to win, but has he found that video game way to win? That, like heart racing, Pat Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson type game? No, he really hasn't had that. Like maybe the Arizona game in 2020. It's like,
I remember that.
The closest one you can say to pulling that one off. And then he just, they give him the weapons though this year, and he just comes out dealing. And then the second half, took over the game, 6 touchdowns. That's happened 3 times in franchise history. It's just Marino and Greasy, just Hall of Famers that have pulled that trick off. And just it just felt so good to watch. Harbaugh did not have an answer for that in the second half. And just Ravens just not covering, busted coverages in some plays, but just touchdown after touchdown, this end, just the way the offense scored, just quickly, confidently, effortlessly. And those aren't things you used to describe the Miami Dolphins offense. We're used to winning 17-14, 20-17, 20-7. We saw the week before. And so we've seen 2 games this year. We saw one where the defense took it over. The game is never in doubt. That game was 20-7, makes it sound closer than it was against the Patriots in week 1. The Dolphins just had that. They had their foot on Belichick's throat the whole time. It was beautiful. And so Tua didn't really have to do much in that one. It was a weaker performance compared to 6 touchdowns and nearly 500 yards, but just one score. But after this one, I'll kind of just give that a pass. I just don't think the offense needed to do that much to win that game. This one, we were down. We needed the explosiveness. We needed to keep, fighting and taking those shots. And Tua was able to do it. This was the biggest game of his career. And so the Dolphins won 1 game of defense and 1 game of offense and 1 quarter of defense. And in the fourth, they came alive and put the brakes on Jackson. So that definitely has to, I think, raise the expectations on this season. And actually, because this offense actually did what all the preseason hype was that this would be the explosive offense, that this would be different. And it's not just different. It might be better than we even dared to hope 2 games in.
Yeah. This is definitely, I would say, the closest that we've seen from Alabama Tua, I would say, and especially maybe even better, because Alabama Tua was just kind of this guy that's in shootouts always with Alabama winning it. I want to talk a little bit about the defense. It was very unimpressive. Their week 2 performance, just not good. Not good at all. You really didn't hear Javon Holland's name too much. They had a couple fourth down stops. They had that strip fumble right at the goal line, which was a huge, huge play at the time. Just your thoughts on kind of the defensive drop off from week 1 to week 2, although the second half did look a little better than the first half. First half, I will say. So it wasn't the worst. Just, I think, a little bit of a drop off when you look at week 1 to week 2 there.
Oh, I absolutely. And if anything, I mean, as far as like the players themselves, I'm just, we've seen what they're capable of for, this unit can pull off for a little while now. We've still got Andrew Van Ginkel, I think, coming back from appendicitis. So that's, but I guess one area to worry about might be the pass rush a little bit, but Van Ginkel's still coming back, and we've played 2 playoff quarterbacks in 2 weeks, and Lamar Jackson is better than Mac Jones. It's probably just Josh Allen that you can say confidently is 100% better than Lamar Jackson, I feel like. A little pushback there, but it's close. Jackson's amazing, and he's going to make plenty of good defenses look bad. But the defense stepped up when we needed them the most. And then that fourth quarter, they figured out an answer. The only thing that might give me some concern about it is the fact that if you think about this, if you think back to last season, that game we had against Baltimore, right, where we just came out and humiliated the Ravens on national TV, the 2-7 Dolphins came in and just, you know, punched them right in the mouth and blitz after blitz, embarrassed Jackson, humiliated Harbaugh. We should have known that they would have had this circled in red the entire rest of the season on to through the summer. I mean, they played the Jets week one. They didn't practice for the Jets. They practiced for the Dolphins for 2 weeks and half of summer, figuring out how to stop Josh Boyer's cover zero, how to, you know, solve that problem, attack the Dolphins, you know, take away their advantages on blitzes. And I'm a little upset that, I guess, Boyer didn't have an answer for that, that he didn't anticipate that, that he didn't, you know, figure out that they were going to make adjustments to it, because boy, did they for the first half. We were down 28-7, and it should have been worse. Than that. And so that, I'm a little worried about that. But I guess, you know, we did, you know, kind of start to figure it out in the second half, and particularly in the fourth. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens next week. And that's really, Buffalo is going to be the litmus test, you know, all season. Have we finally figured out a way to slow down Josh Allen? Or, you know, we've figured out how to keep pace for Josh Allen, it looks like, on the offensive side. But, you know, we've got to solve that defensive riddle too. So that's what I'm curious to see. But ultimately, one other thing, you know, we still have Byron Jones out. I would make the case that we've still been playing two games without, like, maybe or even our third best defensive player. There, you know, he's definitely in the top four. And that's such a big factor with our style of defense working, having two elite corners back there so we can get away with cover zero, you know, as much as we do in all those blitzes. And so I'm probably going to hold back like any real final verdict on the defense until he's back. And if he comes back when he's supposed to in week five and then the Jets light us up, then that's a problem.
That would be a big problem, yeah. So, yeah, I was going to mention Byron Jones. He's not back yet. I believe it's the PUP list or PUP list.
Short-term IR. So,
yeah, so it would be four games. So he would be back for the Jets, as you mentioned. What else can we even talk about? Let's preview week three, man. I mean, you're going up against the team in Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen looked amazing week one. They're currently destroying the Tennessee Titans at the moment. I believe it is 20-7 on Monday Night Football. So he's playing a spectacular game. He's actually about to be the reason I lose week two of fantasy football. So, yeah, they're winning 24-7. Philly is beating Minnesota 14-7. So what would you say are the keys to the game when it comes to playing Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, who have had a lot of success against Miami? If we remember last season, I believe that was the game where Tua got the rib injury in 2021, yes. And that was what started the amounts of losing there, the 7-game losing streak, which was followed then after by a 7-game win streak. So I think the score was like 35-3 or 35-13. It was really bad. And then Miami could not beat Buffalo again. I don't think they have beat Buffalo in the past, 2 years?
We've lost 7 of 8, I think. It's
something like that. I believe the last time I remember them beating Buffalo was in Buffalo, right? With Jay Ajayi and that team, or I think a little bit earlier or a little bit later than that.
That feels right. And I haven't looked at it yet, but it
was a Sunday Night Football game it was like the midday and it was a huge game where
too long. It's been too long.
It's been way too long. So do you think it changes here? Do you think Miami beats Buffalo? You'll be probably doing some kind of preview on this on the article. And we'll talk a lot more about it here. At the moment, Gabriel Davis is out for Buffalo, so that's a big target that they're losing there. But you still have Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox is there. You have a pretty good run game, a very solid offensive line. Mitch Morse did return to the game as we're watching. He was removed from the game, and then he came back. So just keys to the game to beat a team that is as good as Buffalo and probably right now the best team you will be facing in this stretch of games right now that the Miami Dolphins have played, a team that I believe once an AFC championship game, lost in overtime, and maybe they should have made the Super Bowl that year. That was a really good team, and they got better. They really got better. They added Von Miller to the mix. So,
they're great. There's a reason they're a popular Super Bowl pick for a bunch of analysts. It's that they're scary good. They're the new New England. They're the new target to chase in the division. And it some ways it feels good saying that, that there's a new New England, but it's of course, but it's also a little annoying that we were supposed to be the new New England.
Yeah.
Instead Buffalo, they're set up as a new dynasty.
Yeah.
But in some ways it's a big game. In some ways it's the biggest game of the season, because you know, again, the everything the Dolphins have done the last couple of years has been trying to honestly keep up with Buffalo and to, you know, close that talent gap, to make it a fight, and it has not been one. But you know, on the other hand, we did win these other two games. Miami's 2-0 against teams that will probably be contending for the wild card, the Bengals, you know, maybe they're going to struggle. Maybe the Ravens have the division. But anyway, like two teams that are in the playoff race. So we've kind of, in some ways, this game, you know, that takes some of the pressure off, right? Because we weren't, I don't know if we were ever really planning on winning the division. Had Buffalo penciled in for that, and then the, you know, Dolphins are fighting for those wild card slots. But you want to see us look better with them. You want to, you know, see us acquit ourselves, close that gap, you know, beat, trade touchdown for touchdown, you know, make it a close game. And if Buffalo wins, because they are a better team, then great. If Miami does win, then it's going to be the biggest victory this century. Probably it's going to feel that way for sure. And to do that, like, no stupid mistakes, no turn. I don't know if they could afford to make a turnover. If their defense is certainly going to have to bring that energy they had in the Patriots game. We're going to need a complete game from the defense. Xavier Howard's going to be at the top of his powers, covering Diggs. You'd like to see a little more from the running game. I think we're going to need to be a little more balanced. Baltimore has a good defense, but they're also brutalized in the secondary. They had guys either just coming back from injury or too many guys out. From that, Hill can outrun any run, but I don't know if he's going to outrun Buffalo that easy. Buffalo might remember to give some safety help. I would trust him to be able to make that adjustment. So I think it should be, you know, it should be a bit of a firefight. And there it is. But Miami will have to play perfectly because Buffalo is better.
Yeah. So we were talking about the last time Miami beat Buffalo. It was that game we were talking about. December 2nd, 2018 was the last time Miami beat the Bills. And before that, it was on December 24th, 2016, where they won in overtime. So it's been a while.
In the playoffs. That was, I think.
I believe it was that game, yeah. It was. So I think this is where we're going to end it, Sean. The Zoom's about to lock us out, so we have to hurry it up. So once again, thank you for hopping on. We'll be back next week. We'll definitely be back next week where we'll talk about this game against Buffalo. We'll preview Thursday night football. So we won't be missing Miami Dolphin football for too much, as they will be heading up to Buffalo and playing the Buffalo. I mean, heading up to Cincinnati and playing the Cincinnati Bengals. We will have
short week for both teams, but hey, this week it's a short week for Buffalo. Could help.
You're going right back Sunday. Yeah. So yeah, Sean, thank you as always for hopping on. We'll do this next week for sure. John, thank you for being here and giving us some good pictures and editing this as always. So any complaints you have on the edits, just comment down to John Rodriguez and he'll look at your stuff. So there he is, giving us a thumbs up. So thank you guys for watching. We'll see you guys all in the next one. John will be dropping a Miami Marlins video at some point. Just Sean, you'll definitely be on there as a guest at some point. So we'll get you on there for sure.
Awesome.
See you guys on the next one. Peace out.